There is a word from the Lord today. It comes from Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 17 through 24. It's on the screen, and I'm reading from the NIV, and it reads as thus. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elisha, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elisha replied. He took him from her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elisha's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elisha picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elisha, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." If we were to tag our time with you today with a topic, it would be the promise of God. Over these last few weeks, we have been tarrying in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. We started out with Elisha and how the Lord used him to call for a drought in the land, and how Elijah had to leave and go and stay by the brook of Cherith Ravine, and the brook eventually dried up. And we went through how the power of God, how God's power was able to subdue creation, and how the provision of God, when God was able to provide for the widow woman and her son and his prophet Elijah. And so today we're going to finish out chapter 17 as we talk about the promise of God and what God does for those who obey him, those who know how to follow instructions, and those who know how to wait for God. The prophet Elijah, who we have been journeying with throughout this 17th chapter of Kings, he represents the beginning of miracles and the era of prophecy in the Bible. God is now calling his people, his prophets, to speak to those who do not know him, to show their faith in God and what God is able to do in the lives of his people. Here is Elisha in Zarephath, the home of Jezebel, the pagan queen married to an Israelite king, Ahab. As we know, God sent Elisha to Zarephath after the brook of Cherith Ravine had dried up, after Elijah called for the three-day drought, after he had to hide from Ahab and Jezebel out by the brook for 2 years. There was a drought in all the land, but God sent Elijah to Zarephath to look for a widow there who would provide for him, and in return, God would provide for the widow and her son. He did not give a name to this woman. He did not give a name to her son. He just said there would be a widow there. Go, and she will provide for you. Now, Elisha doesn't question God. He just gets up and go, because Elijah knows how to obey. He knows how to follow instructions, and he knows how to wait for God to direct his path. When he gets to Zarephath, just as the Lord told him, he met the widow and gave her instructions. She did what Elisha told her to do after he explained to her that her provisions and blessings were in the obedience, in her service, and in one's belief in the living God. Now it's time has passed. It's been a while, and they're living a quiet life as they wait for the drought to end. as we had heard earlier, that the woman, as Elisha came to Zarephath, she had just a little bit of flour in a jar and just a little bit of oil in a jug. And as he met her and asked her, would she bring him some water, she went and she was turning to get the water. And he said, while you're out there, while you're going to get the water, I'd ask that you would make me a little cake and bring it to me. But she responded, I have just but a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil in a jug. I am going in now. I'm gathering these sticks to go in and make this cake for my son and I, that we might eat it and die. But Elisha came that God would provide for this woman and her son. And as we move forward, we realize as time went by, the flour in the jar was always enough so that it kept right on refilling. Even though she was down to the last, even though her oil was almost running out, the Lord allowed the flour to just keep right on building and the oil in the jug to just keep right on flowing. Why? Because when God provides for you, it doesn't matter how little you might have. When God puts his hands on it, it changes the circumstance. It changes the situation. It makes things different. Believe it or not, if Elisha had not shown up, the widow and her son would have been dead by then. But God heard her cry and made provisions for the widow and her son. These provisions were activated by her obedience, her willingness to serve, and her belief in God, and that a God that she didn't even know until Elisha showed up. This was a pagan woman. She didn't know about the living and true God. She knew that there was a drought called in the land, and she knew that the man of God was the one that called it. So she knew a little bit, but until Elisha showed up, she didn't know about the provisions of this God. Now we can imagine that every day she was going about her duties, taking care of her son, making the cakes for the man of God, her son and herself, and giving thanks to God for providing. The drought was still in the land, so I would suggest that she was encouraging herself every day, telling herself, as long as I trust in God, who can stop rain from falling, who can stop dew from dropping, the Lord of provisions will provide. This same God will one day call this drought off and things will get better. She was encouraging herself. If I can hold out one more day, if I can keep right on moving forward, one day my son is going to grow up and work and be able to provide for himself and for me. If I do right and continue to serve, continue to share, continue to believe in the only God who changes my situation, things will get better. Not long after that, something happened. All those hopes and dreams began to slip away from her. Everything got a little blurry, and she could feel herself slipping into a dangerous place. A place she dare not think about. A place of no return. A place where dreams die and hope is lost. The word says in that 17th chapter verse, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. This son, who she thought weeks ago would be dead from starvation, but the man of God came with a word that provided provision and possible future. This son who she couldn't see how she would be able to take care of him, but suddenly had a chance to grow up to be a man. This son who one day would not only take care of himself, but would be a provider for her. Now her son, taken ill and had gotten worse and to the point where he stopped breathing. The devastation of losing her son was overwhelming. It was breathtaking, life-altering. No doubt she said to herself, how could this be? Just when I got on my feet and things began to look up, a punch comes from nowhere and knocks me down. She didn't even see it coming. Have you ever been to a place in your life when you've been struggling at one point and it looked like things might have been hopeless, but God stepped right in at the nick of time and pulled you out? Have you ever been so worried till you were sick? You couldn't figure out how you were going to work this thing out. But just when you were down to your last ounce of hope, just when you was last to your last prayer of faith, God showed up at your gate and turned your world around. Have you ever been there? Well, the widow was there now. She was down to her last ounce of hope, her last prayer of faith. And God heard her faintest cry and sent the answer to her door and turned her whole situation around. She was now hopeful. She was now living in peace. The man of God stayed, and his presence gave her hope for a brighter tomorrow. The flower in the jar, which represented her hope. The oil represented her prayer of faith. And it appeared that as long as she was doing her part, held on to her faith, the blessings kept coming. And there was a shift in the atmosphere. You know, when things in life change, this is like a shift in the atmosphere. It rides right on into your life. You don't even see it coming. You go to bed one night and wake up tomorrow and the situation is different. With the shift came devastation. Her world turned upside down, and her reason for breathing suddenly was gone. Have you ever had a shift in your life? You went to your job, you didn't even know it was coming. And you see the boxes started to come into the office, and you wonder, what's going on? What's happening here in my life? There's a shift happening in your life. Your job is about to be gone, and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. But I want you to know today that we serve a God of power. We serve a God of provision. We serve a God who can make your situation turn around. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" In other words, was this a setup? Did you come here to build my hopes only to now destroy me? Was this all about who I used to be and the punishment for the mistakes I've made in my past? How could you and your God do such a thing? Why didn't you just let us die when we had no hope, no promise, and we had no dreams? Elisha didn't answer her. He didn't try to console her. He just said to her, "Give me your son." Elisha replied. He took him from her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on the bed. The man of God didn't have an answer, but he knew who had the answer. God was doing something, but he wasn't sure what it was. He knew God was the only answer to this situation that looked like things might have been over. He took the child into his arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying. You see, Elijah's space was no doubt the place of prayer and supplication unto the Lord, the space and place where he went to be in the presence of God. Just like Jesus did throughout the gospel, it tells us in Matthew 14:23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone." Jesus' prayer and meditation was a part of his life throughout his ministry. Elisha, too, had a relationship with God. He spent time with God. He was on assignment because he had a relationship with God. God trusted him, and he trusted God. It's difficult to be in a relationship with someone you don't spend any time with. You don't know them, and they don't know you. And they don't know what to say, and you don't know what to say. But Elisha spent time with God, so he didn't hesitate. He took the boy, went to the place of prayer and supplication before the God, for the Lord. Not only did Elisha have conversation with God that he might know his will, he entered into a space and a place where he could make his request known unto God, that he might tell God the desires of his heart. He needed to know that God was in the presence. And so he went into his prayer closet, his secret place. Elisha then confronted God. God doesn't mind if we confront him. He doesn't mind if we ask him questions. He doesn't mind if we say why when we have a relationship with him. Then he cried out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy upon this widow I am staying with and caused her son to die? In other words, did you bring me here to bless this woman or to curse this woman? She did what you asked her, and now this, Lord? This supplication reminds us of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if there be any other way, please let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. But much like Gethsemane, God was doing a work in the life of the widow and the man of God through her son. Elisha was praying for the life of the widow's son, and so did Jesus pray for us on the cross. There he stretched himself out over the boy three times and cried unto the Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. You see, Jesus stretched his body over the cross. He laid his body down in the tomb. God sent his spirit back into the body of Jesus that he might get up and be the first of the resurrection. You see, the Son was a foreshadow of what God had already preordained to do for us. The death sentence that was due to us ended at Calvary. The penalty for our sins paid by Jesus. God heard Jesus plead for us, and the life that would have been lost forever was returned to each of us. We are the widow who God sent the man or the woman of God to ask us to serve, to ask us to obey, to ask us that we would believe. When we have done what we've been asked to do, and we can go and take our sons and daughters to the Son, to the Son of Man, which is Jesus our Christ. Jesus will ask the Father, where is the promise of life that you gave to these who would believe? In that verse 22, the Lord heard Elisha's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Just as the Lord heard Jesus' cry at Calvary, and those who serve, those who obey and believe, their lives will be returned to them too. The sacrifice and prayer of Christ made on the cross changed everything. You see, in that verse 23, Elisha picks the child up, carries him down from the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother. Look, your son is alive. The sacrifice of Christ picked us up from death row and gave us an opportunity for eternal life. You see, Jesus gave his life that we might have life and have it eternally. Like the widow's son, God returned our life to us because of Christ, his son. Then the woman said to Elisha, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. It is our prayer and supplication for one another that helps us to see God more clearly. Someone is lost and cannot find their way to God, but God is calling us to a place of prayer and supplication for one another, a place where we have a relationship and fellowship with God and can stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of someone else that is in need. You see, the first thing God calls us to do is to be a vessel of power. The widow felt safe and found hope in the authority of which Elisha spoke. She didn't second guess what he said. She just followed his instructions because she remembered from before in that 13th verse where he said, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me and what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. It's in that 14th verse when things really start moving. He said, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. We are now the disciples of Christ, As men and women of God, we are called to intercede with power in prayer and supplication for those that are in trouble, for those that are in need, for those that are sick, for those that are lonely and left out. We are called by God to show the power of his mercy and his grace, to be a beacon of light in a dark place, to be a source of provision where there is a drought in someone else's life. At the beginning of Lent, Pastor Jackson asked us all to fast on Friday. And while we were in this Lenten season, to pick one person and pray, believing with all our hearts for them. We were to ask God to deliver if they needed deliverance. We was to ask God to heal if they needed a healing. We was to ask God to save them if they were out of the ark of safety, salvation. Whatever their needs are, we were to pray believing God had the power to change their situation. You see, God could have sent Elisha anywhere, but he sent him to Zarephath to minister to a widow and her son who was down to their last ounce of hope. The jar was almost empty. To minister to a widow and her son who was at the bottom of their faith that things could or would turn around. Their jug had just enough to make one more cake. To minister to this widow and her son with power that God brings life and not death. You see, God looks beyond our faults and he sees our needs and supply them. That's the kind of God we serve. Just when it appears as if all is gone, the Lord will step in and provide. Just when you've done all that you know how to do. You've done what you thought you could do. You've done all that you heard your mama say that you should do. But there comes a time when God will send an answer to your prayer if you don't give up and if you hold out. Just when you are about to give up, just when you are about to turn around, the door is about to open. Maybe somebody here is standing before an open door and you've given up. You've knocked and you knocked and the door didn't open. I stand here today to tell you, don't you give up. You just keep right on praying. You just keep right on walking forward and know that God is able to do anything but fail. Secondly, God called us to be a testimony of his presence. The widow found hope to live because of the presence of the man of God. She felt secure knowing that as long as Elisha and his God was present, the Lord of provision, the Lord of hope and miracles, that she would be provided for because that was the promise. We know as we looked at that 14th verse where he told her what the Lord said, that the flour would not run out, nor would the oil run dry until the day the Lord brought rain back onto the land. Sometimes all people need is to know that someone cares, to find encouragement not to give up. Sometimes all people need to hear is our testimony of how God has brought us through and believe that God can bring them through. Sometimes the ministry of presence, just to be there, you might not have the answer. God may not have spoken into your spirit what to say to them, but just your presence with them will give them and help them to find the strength to believe God for a new beginning. We are called by God to be the voice of the Lord. God is spirit, and he has endowed his spirit into us when we accepted his son, Jesus, that we might be the ones to stand in the gap, pray for somebody, encourage somebody, share with them your testimony. God was down to my last dime, and the Lord brought me out. I didn't know how I was going to make it, but God showed up. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to take $1 and stretch it and make it 10. But the God I serve is able. He know what to take a little and make it into a lot. The third thing God has called us to is a life of prayer. When stuff happens and we are beside ourselves with fear, we're in pain, we might even feel guilty, and some of us are even grieving. We need someone who knows how to get a prayer through. Somebody that believes God and take him at his word. Jesus speaking to his disciples in Mark 11, 22 and 23. He says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he said will happen, it will be done for him. There is no need to be with people who have no faith. You need to just walk away from that. If they don't have any faith, they can't help you. No need to be with people who don't believe that God is able. You know, we walk around and we say, oh, I know God is able. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed and highly favored. But how much of it do we believe? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that although I don't see how he's going to bless me, I know God's going to bless me? I'm looking to the right, but God is coming from the left. Do you believe that God is able? You don't need somebody that's going to get up and run when things get bad. We are called to be powerful presence who know how to pray and believe God for the answer. The widow's son was dead. His future ended, and so did hers. She knew that she had not been the person she should have been. But how many of us have always been what we should have been? No doubt there were times when we began to think, God is punishing me for my past sins, when things begin to look bleak, when our hope just dies and our future look a little dark. But I want you to know today that we serve a faithful God who promised us in his word that he would forgive our sins and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. I want you to know today that we serve a loving and kind God who gave his son so that we and our sons and daughters could live. I want you to know today that we serve a sovereign God who knows how to take us to the next level in our faith. So that when trouble comes, we will know how to stand in his power and in his presence, and we will know how to pray. You see, this widow's woman's son is not the only son that God has called back to life. God has called all humanity back to life. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed on him shall not die, but will have eternal life. How many of our sons would be here today if we didn't stand up in power and make the presence of God known in their life and pray to our God who can do anything but fail? I shudder to think what would have happened to my own son. Those many nights that I stood in that window when I knew that he was out there, I knew the dangers that was out in the world, and I prayed before the living God. Lord, I ask you, put a hedge of protection around him, God, that no hurt, harm, or danger would come unto him. I shudder to think where we would be if we didn't have praying mothers and grandmothers who asked God to protect us when we were too naive to even realize the dangers that we were in. I shudder to think how many times the adversary had laid death traps for our sons and our daughters of the believers, but the prayers of the righteous availeth much. You got to know that God can. You got to know that God will. You got to know that God is able. And if you don't know it, I pray today that you come to know it. Because you see, you can't do anything without God. In that 17th chapter in the book of 1 Kings is the foreshadow of the life that God is calling us to live. You see, Elisha, the man of God who walked in obedience, who knew how to follow instructions and knew how to wait on God, is an example of what God would have us to be. You see, the widow and her son was an example of those who are lost and need someone to point the way to the Savior. And finally, the death of the widow's son served to help us to know that those who are living but are dead in Christ can be saved. I say it again. Those that are living but dead in Christ can be saved. God had the power to call life back into the widow's son. And if we would follow Elisha's example, and bring them before the Lord and pray in faith, God will bring life back into our sons and daughters. As I close, I want to share this little story I read with you. A TV camera crew was on assignment in southern Florida, filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. Amidst the devastation and the debris, one scene showed a house standing firm on its foundation. The owner was cleaning up the yard when the reporter approached. "Sir, why is your house the only one standing?" asked the reporter. "How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane?" "I built my house myself," the man replied. "I also built it according to Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 trestles, I used 2x6 trestles. I was told that a house built according to the code would withstand a hurricane. I did it, and it did." So I leave you with this thought on today. A life built on the firm foundation of God's word will withstand the worst storms of your life. You see, we serve a God of power. We serve a God of provision, and we serve a God of promise. In that chapter of 1 Kings 17, we have a God who is all powerful. I want you to know that he'll provide when no one else is there. The Lord will come and see about you. We have a God who will keep his promise. You see, he's not like man. Man have all intentions of doing right. But sometimes they mess up. Sometimes they leave us when we're down to our last. But you see, God will not leave you. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should confess. If he said, "I'll help you," he'll help you. If he said, "I'll make a way," I'll make a way. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And that's the kind of God we serve. I don't know about you, but I got some testimonies that he came when I was down to my last. He helped me make a way out of no way. I didn't know how I was going to see the next day, but the Lord stepped in. There were times when I was so sick, I didn't know if I would see tomorrow, but the God of salvation stepped in and waked me up, got me on my feet, and told me to run on that I might see what the end might be. So many times, I'll say it, so many times, I've been so depressed I couldn't figure out how I was going to get myself up. When I wanted to throw in the towel, and it almost is a dangerous thing sometimes when you know that you've been saved. Said to live is Christ and to die is gain. But the Lord says, "I'm not through with you yet. I got some more things for you to do. I want you to get up and put your clothes on, wash your face, and get on out there and do what I told you to do." The God of power, the God of provision, the God that will do anything but fail. I don't know who might be thinking that this is the end of the rope for me. I've tried everything. I've applied for every job. I've gone here and I've gone there. I want to tell you today, don't you give up. Don't you turn around. You just keep right on stepping. Say, "The God I serve is able. He can do anything but fail. He's brought me through this and he'll bring me through that. Yes, my friends are gone. Yes, my mother is dead. Yes, my father is dead. But the living God never dies." Life is hard. Life can be brutal. But one thing I'm so glad about, that I know today, I know that all that is within me, that I serve a powerful, all-knowing God that's present everywhere. He can do anything. He can part some Red Seas. He can cause your enemy to flee. He can take you into a place you never even dreamed of. Did I ever think that I would be standing here in this pulpit? Did I ever think, when I was riding the subways of New York City, going from club to club, did I ever think that God can clean you up and turn your life around and put your feet on solid ground? Did I ever think, when the enemy was trying to destroy me because he knew what God had planted in me from the beginning of time, that this word would not come forth? Yes, it gets rough. I'm not telling you that because you believe that life is always easy. The enemy comes after those who believe. But because you believe, you can stand. Because you believe, you can walk on. Because you believe, then your friends can turn their back, but you can keep right on walking. Because you believe, you know that God owns everything. He can open some doors. He can close some doors. He can cause you to receive things you didn't even know you would receive. I shared with the Hour of Power group that comes here on Wednesday. This is my own testimony. The word says, testify, tell it. I didn't know how I was going to make the ends meet. My son was in school and I did not have the money to make those ends meet. But you see, God caused my job to call for this group who would be the group that would be the emergency task force. And because I trusted God and my boss knew that I trusted God, I had tried my best to walk the way I should walk before. People that I engage with, people that I work with. And my boss says to me, she said, there's an emergency group that they're establishing here at the company. And I have put your name there that you might be part of this group. She said, but I want you to know that it means that you would have to stay behind, just like after the World Trade Center and after the power outage in New York, that you would have to stay behind to make sure this is a news company. This was American Broadcasting. You'd have to stay behind to make sure that things are operating properly. I said, I can do that. I didn't ask her if there was any money involved. I didn't ask her, did it mean I would get a promotion? I just said, I can do that. She said, well, one more thing before you go back to your office. She said, just for saying yes, there's a bonus of $3,500 that I want to give to you. See, that's the kind of God we serve. He knew my situation. He provided a way for me to get the money that I need to make the ends meet. That's the kind of God we serve. A God of power, a God of provision. He will provide. He will make a way. You're looking this way and God's coming that way. You counting yourself out and God is saying, honey, you just started. Words cannot explain the things that I have in store for you. Just stay the course. Stay the course. I'm the God of promise. If I said it, I shall not lie. I am not man that I should lie or the son of man that I should repent. I'm able to do it. I can bring you out.